Dana Carvey and David Spade here.
You might know our podcast, Fly on the Wall, featuring guests from across the entertainment industry.
We decided to do a spinoff called Superfly, and it's fun. It's just two of us riffing on current events, pop culture, catching up, impressions.
Joe, Trump's trying to be a dictator.
Yeah, just bump on the tater tots.
Joe, no.
Listen to and follow Superfly on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcast.
It is the JR Sport Brief Show here on CBS Sports Radio. Happy Thursday to you. Hope you had an amazing one. I've been hanging out for an hour already. The show gets started every 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Pacific. And I've had fun. I'm hanging out here in New York City with super producer and host Ryan Hickey. Happy to be hanging out with you, whether you happen to be at work, at home, at school. Maybe you're somewhere doing something, going somewhere you have no business. It's none of mine. I don't care. I'm not telling. Either way, keep listening. You can listen on the free Odyssey app. You can tune in on your local CBS Sports Radio affiliate, SiriusXM 158. And if you got a smart speaker, ask it to play CBS Sports Radio. And boom, the show pops right on up. Technology, it's great when it actually works. Technology is good when it works. Sometimes I ask Alexa to do something, and sometimes she doesn't shut up. I hate it. I absolutely do. Hickey asked Alexa the weather the other day. I'm like, hey, what's the temperature outside? It's like, hey, it's currently, 65 degrees and sunny. And I go, great. I didn't say anything. It's like, hey, it's 65 degrees and sunny. I can also tell you the weather for tomorrow. I can also tell you and provide some food options for what you want to eat. Hey, there's a movie going on down the block from you. This is a 6 p.m. showing. Would you like to get to? I'm like, yo, I just asked you the weather. It's like, I just want to know the weather from the stupid machine. I'm not trying to get married, okay? I don't have a wife. I don't need Alexa to be my wife. Just tell me what the weather is and shut up.
Trying too hard. Trying to impress you.
Alexa.
Yeah, I mean, look at that. Just you want the weather? She'll give you four other things outside of the weather.
I had to go into my phone and find the setting and put stupid Alexa on brief mode. Like, why do I need to do this?
That's an option. Brief mode.
Brief. As in, answer me and don't give me none of this other crap.
Like, I asked you to say something.
Yeah, I'm asking you the weather. Tell me the weather. Don't tell me that, hey, by the way, if you need more paper towels, I can have them delivered to the house. I don't need that. Don't. Machine's doing too much. This is AI, right? It is AI, artificial intelligence. It's not smart enough to shut up. Somebody teach it that. Anyway, if you want to participate in the show, you can. Unless you're a robot. We don't want you. Not now. 855-212-4CBS. That's 855-212-4CBS. This is a place for human beings. You can also find me online at JR Sport Brief, where robots also exist, posing as human beings. We've talked about plenty of human beings so far. Caitlin Clark says, I'm going pro. Good for her. Stop beating up on them women in college. Now Caitlin Clark can go to the WNBA and beat up on grown women. And when you say grown women, you got to put emphasis. These women are grown, okay? Also, we talked about some of the great NFL draft prospects. We got a prospect at the NFL Combine who actually sat down and told the general public and the assembled media, hey, I don't believe in the planets. What? Did you take science class or did you just flop and fail? He's going to make a good football player. He doesn't know anything about nothing else. Good for him. And then Dan Orlovsky, former quarterback in the NFL, now media pundit, told everybody that he believes Jaden Daniels is the guy, that Jaden Daniels is going to be a better quarterback than Caleb Williams, and that he should go number one overall. I guess he only looked at this past season and forgot all the other years that preceded it, where Caleb Williams was lighting it up, and all of a sudden Jaden Daniels comes out of nowhere, and boom, all of a sudden he has a Heisman-caliber season. Picks up the award here in New York City. 855-212-4CBS. That's 855-212-4CBS. I want you to know and understand this. This portion of the show is sponsored by the new Hyundai Tucson, available with complimentary class-leading BlueLink Plus. Now it's easy to use your phone to control your Tucson. We've done a lot of talking about prospects, people who have potential to go ahead and do amazing things. At one point in time, this man was a prospect. This man was a prodigy. This man has chosen one, tatted on his back. He's exceeded all of it. His name is LeBron James. It's crazy to think, after all of these years, 39 years old, the first time I saw LeBron James, he had a flip phone in his hand. We got iPhones. LeBron James has lived through, or his career has gone from flip phone to iPhone, gone from CD to MP3. Nobody even talks about MP3 anymore. And LeBron James is still going strong. I mean, even last night, LeBron James helps lead the Los Angeles Lakers against the Clippers in a comeback. They overcome a 21-point deficit to beat the Clippers. The Clippers were the quote-unquote home team. They beat them 116 to 112. And LeBron James woke up in the fourth quarter and he chose a violence. He had 34 points overall. He had 19 points in the fourth quarter. He scored or assisted on 11 out of 13 of their damn baskets. This is a 39-year-old man playing next to Anthony Davis, and he can't even help the guy. Anthony Davis can't wake up and say, nah, Bron, I got this. Anthony Davis still walks around like, nah, Bron, it's all you. Like, can the man get some help? LeBron James is the closest dude in the NBA to a walker, and he still has to carry the Los Angeles Lakers on his damn back. I mean, by the time they got to the fourth quarter, the score was 98-77. The Clippers led. It was no Paul George. He's dealing with knee soreness. Of course, one of the Clippers were going to get hurt. Yeah, Anthony Davis had 20 points. LeBron said, all right, man, just sit your fragile behind down. I got this, 34 points. And by the way, LeBron James, out of those 19 points, five threes in that fourth quarter. He makes no sense. I know I criticized him the other day, and I think justifiably so, for talking so much about his son. Oh, my son could be on the Lakers right now. And then a month later, oh, don't talk about my son and where he going to get drafted. Man, you the one boosting him up. But it doesn't matter how you feel about LeBron, what he says, what he does, on, off the court, when that man is playing, he is still one of the best in the league. If you're starting a draft, are you going to take him over Luka right now? I don't know. It depends on what you want. If you got to think about longevity, you taking him up? Probably not. But there's a good chance that on any given night, he is probably going to be the smartest basketball player on the court. And he's going to be, if not the best player on the court, he might be second. And there's only a few dudes that I would say, oh, yeah, yeah, much, much better than LeBron right now. This is the world that we're living in. He's a freak. And you know what? I find this to be even more impressive than what Tom Brady did. God bless Tom Brady for knowing how to get the hell up on out the way and avoid hits, and have a long career. And between the both of them, their health, their fitness, their diets, their dedications, it's admirable. But let me tell you something. There ain't nothing fun or soft about running up and down that hardwood. The normal human being couldn't last one game, playing in the NBA. LeBron James has done it for the better part of 20 years right now. And still does it at an elite level. I don't want to run up and down a court. I don't want to run one direction. My body would say, nah, bro, there's no cartilage here. Stop. Sit down. And now, even more so, LeBron James is 40 points away. 40 points away from being the only player in NBA history to have 40,000 points. It was almost a year ago, a year and a couple of weeks, that LeBron James passed Kareem Abdul-Jabbar for the most points ever. Kareem held the record for 40 years. And I get it. We got more scoring in the NBA than ever before. But is somebody else going to snatch this record in 20 years, 25 years, 30 years, 40? It's tough because who the hell is playing this long? Vince Carter played 22 years in the NBA. By the time Vince Carter got to the end, he was washed up. He was a veteran. People were excited to see him go into the game and put in a dunk because he could still do it. But damn, LeBron James is still a superstar in the league. We haven't seen nothing like this. Kareem played a long-ass time, too, but LeBron James is taking it to another level. And so after the victory last night, and after the Los Angeles Lakers beat the Clippers, something that they haven't done a lot of over the last decade, the Lakers now have a record of 32-28. The Clippers are hoping that Paul George comes back sooner than later, and everybody's excited. Darvin Ham, the head coach, hoping that LeBron just says, yeah, he could stay. Darvin Ham is like, man, he was just like Superman in the fourth quarter.
Had to take the cape tucked under his seat on the bench, I guess. It was time for him to whip it out. And he definitely did that, put the cape on, and just got aggressive and got in a good rhythm. He's been shooting the ball, you know, extremely well this whole entire season. And that was just another case of it. You know, once he got in rhythm and, you know, with his playmaking skills, he sets the tone with his three, with his shooting and going downhill. But then once they start scheming and trying to hit and double team late, he was able to pick him apart with the pass. And that's just who he is.
Crazy. It's not just Darvin Ham who's impressed. That Mr. Glass, Anthony Davis, the guy who should be telling LeBron, nah, LeBron, I got this. You could rest. I got this. Anthony Davis just talked to Spectrum Sportsnet, the TV station. He's just like, yeah, LeBron's good. He's real good. He's real good. That's my friend.
He is who he is. He got hot, you know. Down 19 to start the fourth, he comes out. He hit, I think, four threes. And he's got us going, make some tough shots, some tough finishes, and got us back in the game.
Five threes, Anthony. Five. You forgot one. Give LeBron James his credit. The opposition, Ty Lue, he knows LeBron. He's seen him. But Ty Lue is just like, man, we had a 21-point lead. I don't give a damn who we were playing.
It's a tough loss because we, you know, up 21 points. But this is a good team. And when you don't take care of the basketball and you don't do what you're supposed to do, you know, you're going to lose. You know, and so we can see that, you know. And so, but the game's over. Got to get ready for the Wizards game on Friday. As tough as this loss may be, you know, it's over.
Yeah, it comes, it goes. You win one, you lose one. You can't drag the next game or the last game to the next. You can't do that. It's bad. The guy who's driving the ship should be tired, should be retired, trying to play with his son. Don't know if it's going to happen. His son doesn't look good. Not now. LeBron James, he had some words as well. And he talked about being in the zone.
We've kind of heard this, you know, what it feels like to be in the zone, you know, in our sport, and that's just the feeling. When you feel like everything that you put up is going in, and you know, with the, you know, for me, I kept it consistent. I wasn't taking ill-advised shots. I stayed in the course of the offense. When I was able to get the switches, I was able to give myself some space and get a couple more looks. You know, so my teammates did a great job of continuing to find me. You know, and then I just try to dictate the tempo, dictate the game, you know, as we started making a run for it and getting the game closer and closer and closer. So, you know, just a zone that you can't really describe it. You wish you could stay in it forever, but obviously it checks out, you know, as the game ends. But, you know, during it, you don't feel anything. You just have a superpower, I feel.
Yeah, I've been in the zone one time on a basketball court. One time. Playing a short kid. About 5 years younger than me. Oh, we played against each other. We had some good one-on-ones. And I was just knocking down everything. I couldn't believe what I was doing. I was hitting shots I ain't never made in my life before. I can only imagine what that feels like at the highest of levels. And LeBron James, who's been at a higher level in the NBA? Let's be real here. I think the only other guy is some dude named Michael Jeffrey Jordan. But LeBron James, you want to talk about greatness? He has and continues to do things that Michael Jordan has not. This is nutty what LeBron is doing. And we don't know when it's going to end. We don't know when it's going to stop. Is it one more year, two more years, three more years, four? We have no idea. He's annihilating the record books, and he is still adding to his records. Yes, different game, different speed, different pace. Kareem's scoring record stood for 40 years. 40 years. When LeBron is done, are you going to be alive to see somebody break his record? The answer might be no. That is wild to think about. LeBron James, as he approaches 40,000 points, the Los Angeles Lakers, they are in action tonight, hosting the Washington Wizards, the bum-ass team that the other day had the same record as the Pistons. That's a terrible place to be. Bad company, terrible company. LeBron James might put up 25, and they may sit him down because the Wizards are a bunch of bums. They may not need him. The next Los Angeles Lakers game, Saturday, prime time. The Los Angeles Lakers host the Denver Nuggets, the defending NBA champions who knocked LeBron James out of the Western Conference Finals. The Lakers got close, but almost in close doesn't count. If you want to take a bet, is LeBron dropping 40 tonight? I don't think so. LeBron James might reach 40,000 career points, something that has never been done, that is likely to go down Saturday against the Nuggets. LeBron James, absolutely amazing. LeBron James, a living legend. It's the JR Sport Brief Show here with you on CBS Sports Radio, 855-212-4CBS. That's 855-212-4CBS if you want to talk about a legend. And speaking of a legend, we know that there are a few legends in the world of sports, particularly coaches who've had to go away. Well, one of the legend's replacements is letting everybody know that I like the legend, and I'm not changing things because he sucked. I'll explain. I'll talk to you if you call me, 855-212-4CBS. It's the JR Sport Brief Show. Don't move.
Dana Carvey and David Spade here.
You might know our podcast, Fly on the Wall, featuring guests from across the entertainment industry.
We decided to do a spinoff called Superfly, and it's fun. It's just two of us riffing on current events, pop culture, catching up, impressions.
Joe, Trump's trying to be a dictator.
Yeah, just bump on the tater tots.
Joe, no.
Listen to and follow Superfly on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcast.
You're listening to the JR Sport Brief on CBS Sports Radio.
It's the JR Sport Brief Show here on CBS Sports Radio. 855-212-4CBS. It's 855-212-4CBS. Right before we went to break, we talked about the legend of LeBron James. He is 40 points away from being the only player in NBA history to score 40,000 points. I'm going to tell you about another legend soon, in a minute, momentarily. But let's get to the phones. It's 855-212-4CBS. Let's talk to Lee. He is calling from Cincinnati. Hey, Lee, you're on the JR Sport Brief Show. What's going on?
Hey, not much, JR. Thanks for taking my call. And I know I'm kind of asking about something that you're not talking about yet, but I just have to get your opinion on this because yeah, we haven't even gone to the 12-team playoff yet for college football. They're already talking about 2 years afterwards expanding it to 14. I mean, why would you do that? 12 teams, in my opinion, I want to know what you think is a good playoff number. My opinion, 12 teams is perfect because we now are going to have four power conferences. Take the conference champion from each one of those, and that'll make the conference championship relevant again in each one of those power four conferences. Then you take the eight other highest-ranked teams that there are. Because, let's face it, Power 5 conferences, are Liberty or Tulane or any other team like that ever really going to challenge for a national championship? No, I'm not trying to be ugly. I'm being realistic.
Hey, I was wearing my Tulane sweatshirt yesterday, okay? I wore my Tulane sweatshirt proudly, okay? But go ahead. I get you.
Oh, no. I know I went to University of South Alabama and
crap.
University of Florida both. Okay, so I went to one that I know will never play anywhere. I went to one that hopefully someday might return to greatness. But you see where I'm coming from? It's just in the reality of it. The 12-team playoff, that 12 teams, in my opinion, is the perfect number for this very reason, because it will make conference championships relevant again, and it will give all the other two teams who might have had a slip-up during the season another chance to come back.
Well,
what do you think?
Well, Lee, you beat me to the punch. We were absolutely going to talk about this, but since you brought it up, let's discuss this now, and I'll talk about Gerard Mayo and Bill Belichick in the next break. You know, last week we had a conversation with Dennis Dodd of CBS about this topic specifically and how the SEC and the Big Ten are basically exerting a lot of their power and a lot of their influence to help influence things, pardon the double influences. But the fact of the matter is they make a lot of the money. They got influence across the country. We know the SEC is the powerhouse in the Southeast. We know the Big Ten is basically wrapping things up from the East Coast to West Coast. They basically covered everything, and so they can throw their weight around. I find it to be ridiculous that there is a 14-team playoff being proposed, being mulled, being considered, being thought about, whereas you just said, we haven't even gotten a 12 first. But look, we know this. It's all about money. That's it.
But the thing is, you tell me if I'm wrong about this, though, okay? So what, with a 12-team playoff, if you still have the four conference champions, which I think you should, you know as well as I do, okay? We should not have automatic qualifiers after that. There's only automatic qualifiers should be the conference champions, because the SEC is still going to get two more teams in. The Big Ten is still going to get two more teams in, at least from each conference. We might have a tough playoff that, besides the conference champions, is nothing but SEC and Big Ten. That's just the way that it is, because those two conferences are so strong. You know, so I don't think I think what they're doing is, I think they're worrying about something they don't need to worry about at all. I think you can have as many as four teams each one of those conferences along
It depends on whose perspective are you looking from. I mean, if I'm the SEC or I'm the Big Ten, I'm taking the approach of, hey, I got the powerhouse schools. I need to get a little bit more of the pie. And if you're looking at it from the perspective of a smaller school, then you're looking at it going, hey, I don't want this. So it depends on what perspective. If you're asking me, I find 14 to be ridiculous. I understand why they want to expand to 12. All I'm looking for with 12 teams being in a college football playoff is just more ass whoopings. You know, I'm going to look at the first round, and I may not watch as intently because I'm expecting some beatdowns that I don't need to sit down for 3.5 hours to watch. So for me,
exactly. And you know,
I don't got no horse in the race. I do. I like the Georgia Bulldogs. That's my home squad. But I'll tell you this much. Do I need to see Georgia beating up on TCU? No. No, I don't. I don't need to see the ass whoopings in the first round. It's a complete waste of time. This is no different, by the way, than when the college football season starts. And before we get to conference play, I'm watching a bunch of teams, these gigantic schools, beat up on little guys. Like, for what? Like, why? So the little guy can get paid? Like, everything is about business. Like, for what? Why does Georgia need to take on, I don't know, UAB down the road? To do what? So
UAB needs money.
Exactly.
UAB needs some money, and
so
all about money.
It ain't competitive. So you asking me about 14 teams? I don't care if it's 14 teams. I don't care if it's 12 teams. It's all about cash. Like, we have moved to the space of, hey, this is really pay for play. And a lot of these teams, they are showing up, they're getting paid to get destroyed. And I know for all the problems that college football has and who's going to this conference and what player is transferring over, and we got coaches bailing on programs now as well. Has anybody ever thought about the competition? But here's the thing. It's big business. People watch. And if they had it their way, yeah, we might get 12. Well, we got 12 coming up. We might get 14 in 2 years. You don't think that somebody's sitting around going, oh, man, if we get 14 teams and we can add it to 16 teams. Like,
16.
Hey, Lee, you just got to watch it and hate it, or you just got to not watch it at all, okay?
Oh, I'll watch it. If it's 14, I don't give a darn. But I will tell you this.
Yeah.
We already saw with Cincinnati and with TCU what happens when teams that aren't in the Power Four, that aren't the strongest teams, what happens when they try to get in the playoffs? They get destroyed. And that's what's going to happen. Nobody wants to see a total blowout like that. We want to see competitive games.
You're a fan of the Bearcats?
Me? No, not at all.
Oh, damn. No, okay. Actually, call me from Cincinnati. I don't know.
Oh, no, I know from Cincinnati. Yeah, no, you're absolutely right. That's where I live, but no, I do like the Bearcats, but no, when it comes to college, I'm a Florida Gator all the way, man.
Okay, Gator. Well, when they gonna fix that football stadium? I was there 2 years ago. They need to fix it.
Oh, my God. Ben Hill Griffin Stadium is always going to be a piece of junk until Florida finally decides, you know, to get off their butt. And because, let's face it, Florida's falling behind right now with NIL also. I think they're going to be an also-ran the SEC in 3 years unless something majorly changes.
They need better malls in Gainesville, okay? Take my word for it.
Yes, they do. Yes, they do.
Lee knows. Thank you, Lee, for calling from Cincinnati. No problem.
Thank you.
Yeah, it wasn't on my list to take a crap. I love Gainesville, by the way. Hey, Hickey, there's a great restaurant. I forgot whose restaurant it is. Uh-oh. I forgot.
Danny Werfel? Tim Tebow?
Oh, no, it's not Tim Tebow. Uh-oh. Oh,
oh,
out in Gainesville. Oh,
very
coached.
Spurrier?
Oh, it's the Spurrier's, yes. Great. I broadcast out of Spurrier's.
Interesting.
Did you know Steve Spurrier does a podcast?
I did not.
He did a podcast. Well, I don't know if he's still doing it. He built a studio. And see, they don't even want you to call it a restaurant. It is a restaurant / museum. And then in the middle of it is a studio space. And so I broadcast the JR Sport Brief show out of there one day. And I loved it because they had great tech equipment. They had better tech equipment than
some other places.
It was a great option to do the show live from. I did the show live from Spurrier's. And then they fed me good. The food was good. And then it was just decorated with all his accolades. It was just absolutely amazing. Well, shout outs to Gainesville. I love it. Beautiful place. 855-212-4CBS. That's 855-212-4CBS. Hey, let's get Robert in from Kentucky before we move on. Hey, Robert, you're on CBS Sports Radio.
Thanks for taking my call, JR.
Sure.
Just one quick question.
Yeah.
Kenny Payne is in his second year of rebuild. The University of Louisville basketball team.
They suck, that much I know.
Does not look like he's going to get a third year. Do you think that's time enough to turn the college program around?
I don't think that's time enough to turn any college program around. I mean, now that you got NIL, it depends on what players that you can bring in and recruit. We got a guy in Rick Pitino here in New York who's pretty much been complaining about the same thing. And, oh, my God, I got to pay for players. And, oh, my God, man, it's not recruiting anymore. It's how much money you can pay a guy. And it's so much turnaround. And so college sports, it don't matter if it's football or basketball, it's so volatile when it comes down to player selection. You used to have a talent that you could have on the team and say, oh, he's a freshman. Is he going to stay for the sophomore year? Is he going to stay for his junior year? Is he going to be here for 4 years? And now that is completely out of the window when you got players who could just say, I'm out. And so I can't fault Kenny Payne for being in his second year in Louisville just for being complete trash. It depends on who they bring in next year. I couldn't tell you. That's how crazy things are. There's no continuity.
You're absolutely right. JR, a lot of people not doing what they like to do, but I can say this, man. You are doing exactly what you're supposed to do. Your knowledge of sports and everything that goes with it is just unmatched, man. I want to thank you for being the student of the game like you are.
Well, thank you. Thank you so much. So you mean to tell me I shouldn't switch careers and, I don't know, chop chicken up somewhere? I like chicken.
Nah, man, you know.
Okay, all right. Well, I got steak for dinner today. Okay.
Well, keep doing what you're doing, man. I'll talk to you later.
Well, thank you, Robert. Appreciate you for calling. Well, it's nice to know I have his blessing to just sit here and talk about sports. I'm fine with that. It's the JR Sport Brief Show on CBS Sports Radio. When we come back, we'll talk about Mr. Bill Belichick. Things are a-changing in New England, and some people find it that these shots are being taken at Belichick. Bill Belichick can't catch a break. I don't even think his dog likes him.
You're listening to the JR Sport Brief on CBS Sports Radio.
Yeah, listen, I don't take the praise for granted. Thank you very much. It's amazing. I love it. Thank you. I love you. I love you back. 855-212-4CBS. It's 855-212-4CBS. I'm going to talk to you about Bill Belichick momentarily. I don't want to say because it's they want to kick you when you're down. But Gerard Mayo, the new head coach of the New England Patriots, he's having to explain himself and his regime, and some of his scouts and coaches have some thoughts on things that have taken place prior. I'll get to that momentarily. 855-212-4CBS. Right before we went to break, I was asked about college football and the idea that there's even a thought to expand to 14 teams in the college football playoff. We had another caller who asked me about, you know, Louisville basketball and how to construct a team. And Kenny Payne's team sucks. And can he build a winner next year? It's like, man, all these players moving around. I can't keep track. It literally is like free agency in a professional sport, in a professional league. It's no easy answer for any of this. But I wanted you to hear this comment. We didn't get a chance to play it last hour. Washington State head coach. I told you, I think we came to the conclusion, it's always all about money. Jake Dickert, from back in August, if you got a problem or issue with college or the college football playoff or any of it, he said it's all about TV. Listen to this.
It's one of those things, you know, guys, we got to control what we can control. You know, it's amazing to me, you know, how... You know, the old question, how long would it take TV money to destroy college football? Maybe we're here. You know, maybe we're here. But at the end of the day, I just think it's, we'll look back in college football in 20 years and be like, what are we doing?
I don't know, man. Money makes the world go round. I don't know anybody who looked at making more money and said this destroyed us. Maybe politics. I don't know. A lot of things, but no. People are always going to look to make more money. And the fact that television and sports is such a hot commodity, there is nothing outside of what? An award show? A Grammys is once a year. The Oscars is once a year. What else on television is appointment viewing? Like, help me out, Hickey. Is there anything else outside of sports that you have to just see and absorb and take in at that moment? I can't think of nothing.
No, neither can I. Every show is on demand or on some streaming service, so there's no, like, I got to be here at this time. I mean, it's part of the reason why sports right now are keeping kind of cable alive. It's the only thing they got left.
Yeah, it's, you got to watch it. You know, I mean, we got the baseball season upon us. By the way, Shohei Ohtani picked an interesting way to tell everybody he's married. Why bother? But we'll get to that later. Yeah, Shohei Ohtani put a message up on Instagram, said, hey, I'm married. I'm like, okay, who the hell were you dating? You know, who's blowing up your phone? I mean, I'm sure there's some type of ladies trying to get a hold of you making $700 million. But anyway, I digress. Major League Baseball is getting ready to start. I don't know anybody who says, hey, I missed the game on Sunday night, and I also missed the game on Monday. And so I'm going to spend Tuesday by watching Monday's game, Tuesday's game, and then I can't wait to watch Wednesday. I don't know anybody who does that. I mean, if there's a big game and I feel like I'm talking about years past, I would set the VCR because it was easier to do. I would set the VCR to record the game if I was not going to be home to watch it. And this is pre-Twitter and X and Facebook. I could literally go home, not know the results of the game, turn on the videotape, start the game from the beginning, and watch it and enjoy it and not have to worry about 50 friends texting me about what happened at the game. Am I watching the game? You can't do that now. If you missed the game, you missed it. And so that's why sports is so valuable. And so it's not that television is destroying college sports. In a lot of cases, sports is helping to keep traditional TV alive. It's just facts. I mean, if the NFL wasn't on broadcast television, and we talked about the numbers a couple of weeks ago with the Super Bowl, the most watched programs on television, in like the top 100, are all NFL games, which is nuts. You know what I'm going to do? Not today, maybe tomorrow if I remember, maybe next week. I'm going to look at other ratings in other countries. What the hell are people watching? Is it the top soccer matches in every single country, or is there, I don't know, some reality show or singing competition? Like, when you go to other countries, well, you got different days of the week that, oh, soccer's on this day. Here in America, like, the NFL dominates Sundays for the majority of the year. Like, what other country has a sport help shake or shape and mold, like, a season? Imagine if the NFL just disappeared off the face of the earth. What would Sunday be? Just, what, go to church and clean the house? What would people be doing on Sunday? Churches are built around NFL football. Saturday is for college. The NFL is trying to even encroach on that. Greedy you-know-whats. So I'm sorry. TV isn't killing college football. You could say money is, but not TV. Last time I checked, money destroys a lot of things. Relationships. Help me out here, Hickey. What else does money destroy? Egos, people, families, friendships. Money rips everything to shreds, man.
Morality.
Oh, that's...
If you want to go deep.
Yeah, money just makes morals go... Yeah, people are robbing and stealing.
Killing.
Whoa, Hickey. Wow, damn.
So I don't need to just drag this here, but...
You got rubber gloves over there with you behind the desk? Damn.
Don't ask any questions. No, gotta eat somehow.
I won't ask. At least I now could say I know a guy. I'm not saying it's you, but I can say, hey, I know a guy. But yeah, man, this is just the changing landscape of sports. You can't do anything about it. It's just you either change with the times or you get left behind. And speaking of changing with the times, I mentioned to you Bill Belichick. Gerard Mayo's the new head coach. Bill Belichick is gone. Bill Belichick, I don't know what he's doing. Maybe sitting on a yacht somewhere right now. He had the meetings with the Atlanta Falcons. Those meetings went nowhere. They have Raheem Morris as their new head coach. And so Bill Belichick has basically been called a relic. And yesterday we talked about the NFL Players Association and their report cards. They've pretty much said that the New England Patriots, that they have been kind of left behind. That comes from the players. The players said that, is that the Patriots weren't a forward-thinking organization. And who do you think that's a shot at? Bill Belichick, old and grumpy and angry. How about the man, the new director of scouting, told reporters that the New England Patriots, as they move forward, they will be open, a less hard-ass type of vibe in the building. Who's that a shot at? It's Bill Belichick. I mean, he was the quote-unquote, you know, overseer of the operation. He oversaw everything that went on. People know he was the hard ass. And so what the Patriots are doing now, at least Gerard Mayo, I don't want to say to protect himself, he's being very clear that that wasn't a shot at Belichick. Oh, yes, it was. It didn't come out your mouth, but yeah, it was. And we've heard this. You can see Bill Belichick in a press conference. He is difficult. He was difficult. He was a pain in the ass. It didn't matter if it was a reporter. Tom Brady basically said he was a pain in the ass. Tom Brady's father basically said he was a pain in the ass with no personal skills. A hell of a coach, but no personal skills. And so why is everybody tiptoeing around the concept and the idea that Bill Belichick was a you-know-what? And I'll let you fill in the blank as to what he might be. And so now Gerard Mayo, because I guess he was endorsed by Belichick, is trying to put a positive spin on this. No, 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 it's not a shot at Bill Belichick. No, 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 this is us still appreciating him, but being different moving forward. A matter of fact, listen to what Gerard Mayo had to say about how things are changing. But yeah, we still love Bill.
Look, it's going to be different, but at the same time, I would say
look, Bill did a great job for a long period of time. I don't want you guys to take this as because we're changing the shots toward the previous regime. And saying that, we will do it differently and it'll feel different. But at the end of the day, we would like to replicate the success that the prior regime has had. And so I learned a lot from Bill and also his staff. But now we'll see what this chapter looks like in the franchise.
Listen, man, there's nothing wrong. Like, it's just what life is about, change. If you do not change, you get left behind. And change is also inevitable. Whether you want it to come or not, change is going to happen. So I don't think, they're taking hard shots. They're being real. They're being honest. If Bill Belichick is offended, and Bill Belichick needs to maybe not coach ever again because his time was up in New England. Can he get a shot and a chance somewhere else next season? Oh, hell yeah. Maybe there's a team that just kind of falls by the wayside that has the pieces. I don't know. Maybe Nick Sirianni is gone from the Eagles. Maybe Bill Belichick takes over. They're like, oh, we just need to drive this home with Hurts. Maybe that's the case. But this dude was a hard ass. And nobody needs to kind of tiptoe around Bill Belichick and his feelings. The man has enough success, enough championships, enough titles. He's smart enough to know. Yeah, my time was up. I don't think the man is that stupid. Maybe we need to ask Bill Belichick if he believes in the sun, the moon, and the stars like that combine guy who didn't. I don't know. Leave Bill Belichick alone. It's the JR Sport Brief Show here with you on CBS Sports Radio. Yeah, Bill Belichick, he's done for now. There's a guy in the NBA. He's not done. He said he's coming back, Arnold Schwarzenegger style. Well, he didn't. But he did say he's going to return, and I think he might be doing a little too much. His name is Joel Embiid. You're listening to the JR Sport Brief Show on CBS Sports Radio.
Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time. Baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops, or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in Baseball Isn't Boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. You'll be glad you did.